to a familiar portion of Scripture down in the 5th chapter of the book of St. Mark's Gospel. The Bible said in verse 1 of St. Mark 5, St. Mark 5 and verse 1, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, that they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast." I want you to notice in verse 10, "And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country." And I want to preach tonight on creating an atmosphere where the devil is uncomfortable. Creating an atmosphere where the devil is uncomfortable. The Bible tells us in Psalms 22 and verse 3, "Thou, O Lord, inhabits the praises of Israel." The Bible tells us in Luke 24 and 53 concerning the early church that they were in the temple and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. I feel like today that there was a reason why the devils besought Jesus that they could stay in that country. What was there about that country that the devil desired to be there rather than to be somewhere else? For the Bible said he besought him much that he would not make them or charge them to leave the country. Bible readers and those that are familiar with this scripture, amen, knows that this country, Gadarenes, and those that have studied it out knows the history of this country. Coming out of the Egyptian bondage was the children of Israel. You can find recorded in Numbers 32, amen, that whenever the children of Israel were heading to the promised land, going to a land that was flowing with milk and honey, going to a place that God said he would give them for an inheritance, when they come to Jordan, There was the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh. When they saw the countryside of Jabesh and Gilead, and they saw that it was a land for cattle, and they were men who raised cattle, they said, "We will take our inheritance on this side of Jordan, for we see prosperity here, we see a life of ease here. Don't bring us over all the way into the country that God has promised to us." They settled for their inheritance on this side of Jordan. They were people who had failed to go all the way. They were people who had compromised halfway or at least part of the way and failed to cross clean over Jordan. Therefore, they settled in the country of Jabesh Gilead, which is located geographically off of the coast or off of the banks of Jordan, right close by where this demonic was at. Could it be that the devil feels at home where there is no real full commitment of holiness and righteousness? Could it be that the devil feels right at home where people have not made a complete consecration and a break away from the world, who have settled for something less expensive to the carnal man and settled on this side of Jordan? Oh yes, that's where the country of the Gadarenes got their name. They got it from the tribe of Gad. That's where they settled. And that's where this demonic man was living. And he desired that the Lord would not send him out of that country. You see, there was something about Jesus' presence. Oh yes, that man was possessed with a legion of devils. And we know the story. The Bible said oft times he had been bound with chains and fetters, but no man could tame him, because he would break those chains and fetters and pluck them asunder. Amen. No one could bring this man into captivity. It seems that nobody seemed to disturb him much. But there was a day when a little boat made its way to the coast of Gadara, and stepping off onto the shore, out of the sea came a man called Jesus, and his very presence disturbed the devil in that place. I'll tell you, in Mark the first chapter, Jesus went into the sanctuary. He went into the temple. There were scribes and Pharisees who were teaching the word of God, who were teaching the law, but there seemed to be no disturbance until a man by the name of Jesus walked inside that synagogue. And when he did, that unclean spirit that was hiding in this man began to cry out and say, "Let us alone. We know thee who thou art. You're the Holy One of God." Hear me tonight. The reason sin can run to our churches and hide, the reason adultery and fornication can hide in the church, there is not enough of the presence and the power of the Son of God. The devil feels too comfortable in most of our churches. Oh yes. Amen. He likes to be over there in those charismatic churches, all right, where they're worldly, where they smoke their cigarettes, where the ladies wear their pantsuits. Amen. He likes that. He likes it over there where they have their earrings and their finger rings and their necklaces and their bracelets. He likes that. But that's not the only place he'll hide. He'll hide in a holiness church with a good standard if they do not have the presence of the Son of God in the church. The devil will hide there. But oh, when the Son of God comes in, the devil has to stick up his head and make himself known at the presence of the Lord. He wanted to stay in that country. leave us right here. We're a legion, all right. We've been here for a good while. This is the place where Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh settled. This place speaks of no consecration. This place speaks of no dedication. This place speaks of a religious atmosphere somewhat because of the lineage of Reuben and because of the lineage of Gad and because of the lineage of Manasseh. They had a church history and they had religion, but they had not made the full commitment. And the devil said, I feel comfortable. No, don't make me lead out of this place. Let me stay right here. Well, let me tell you something. Amen. I was preaching in the state of Maine. And in the state of Maine, as I was preaching, the presence of God began to come into that place. And the glory of God began to fill that tabernacle. And a woman jumped up and screamed and ran out on the porch on the steps of the church and took a single blade, razor blade, and cut her throat right on the very doorstep of the church, and it amazed everybody that that woman that they knew would do such a thing. That spirit had been there all the time, but he fell at ease there because there was not enough of the power of the Son of God. Listen to what Brother Richard's telling you. Amen. We want to have a revival of sinners, don't we? We want to see the devils cast out. But we will never have a revival of sinners until we first have a revival inside the church where the presence and the glory of God fills the sanctuary once again. An atmosphere where the devil feels uncomfortable. Now, when I was a sinner, there were certain people I would not go around. They were good people, but I didn't like to be around them. You know why? Lots of times they never said a word to me about the Lord, but the presence of God in their lives condemned me of the sin that was in my life. But isn't it strange today that sinners, backsliders, thieves, whoremongers, adulterers can all gather in the same place, sing and shout together, and we never hear nobody crying out, I know thee who thou art, you're the Son of God. It is because there is a lack of the presence of the Lord in the church. Hallelujah! Holy, holy, holy! Lord God Almighty, when Jesus walked into that temple that day, that spirit that felt so secure while the scribes and Pharisees talked, when Jesus came in, he cried out and said, I know thee who thou art. To the Holy One of God. Hallelujah. For not only did they recognize Jesus as the Son of God, but the devil knew that the Son of God had the authority and the dominion over the power of the devil. That's why he was crying out. Let me tell you, we've got the authority as the children of God. But do we have the power? Woo! Oh, yes. Yeah, we've got it. Well, have we got it? You know, there's a difference in authority and power. They were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them not as one of the scribes, but as one that had authority. Not only did he have the authority over the devil, but he had the power to cast the devil out. I don't want to be humorous tonight, but there's a lot of difference between authority and power. Oh, yes. I heard this story about a man that came out on a farmer's place, told him, said, I'm from the Farm Bureau. I come out to inspect your farm. Here's my card. Go out and look your farm over. Farmer said, well, wait a minute, I need to talk. Oh, no use talking to me. I got the authority right here. Right here is my card. I work for the Farm Bureau. There's my card. Farmer said, wait a minute, I need to tell you something. No, sir, I've got my card here. I've got the authority by the Farm Bureau. I've been authorized to come and inspect your farm. I'm going out to inspect it. Farmer said, better wait a minute now. He said, no, sir, I'm out here with the authority and cut out across the farm. After a while, the old farmer heard somebody hollering, help! Help! He looked out, and just as he suspected, his old bull had that inspector up the tree. And the old farmer hollered and said, show him your card. Well, let me tell you something. The devil's not afraid of your card. He's not afraid of your credentials. He don't care how many reverends you hang on your name. If you do not have the presence of the Son of God in your life, you do not have the power over the devil. Holy! Holy! Hallelujah! If we want to get victory over the devil, we're going to have power over the devil. And the only way we'll have power over the devil is to have the presence of the Son of God within us. A few years ago, I was preaching over the radio. A lady called the station and got my phone number. Call me. Said, Brother Rich, you don't know me, but I'm one of your regular listeners. And I need help. I've got a son in my home who lives with me, and I'm a widow woman. And my son has a devil in him. Can you cast out devils? I said, no, I can't. But I got a friend that can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She said, well, my son, many times while I'm praying over the food, that spirit will come up on him. He'll get up and turn the table over and curse and swear and blaspheme. Said, sometimes when I'm praying and saying my prayer before bed, said, he'll come in and kick me and claw me and beat me. And said, I have bruises and lacerations on my body. Said, other times he's swell and good. But other times, amen, it seems that he goes into a rage, especially when I go to seeking the Lord and praying. You know why? Amen, that devil that was within him, amen, did not like that approach to the throne of God. I said he don't like that approach to the... Now I like shouting. I like what we had here in youth service. I told Brother Mark Kingdon, I said, we've got to have some of those kind of services to keep our youth inspired. We must have them, and I'm for them. But let me tell you something, amen, you can shout all you want to, and holler and hoop and yell, but unless there is power, a direct connection with the Son of God, you will have a power for you. Glory to God. So, this woman said, I want you to come and cast the devil out of my son. I said, sister, I will come, but not today. Shocker. Well, I know some foolish people would run right over on the devil's territory. But see, I hadn't been fasting. I hadn't been praying. Oh, yes, I've been doing my best to live right, but I haven't been praying as much as I should because of a busy schedule of pastoring a large church. And so I was running to hospitals and sick rooms like Brother David Sims have been doing today. I said, I will take your number and I'll call you when I'm ready. Sister Rich and I went on a 4-day fast. I asked the church to help us. We prayed, and on the 4th day of our fast, I was praying and the Lord said, call the lady. I've given you power over that spirit in my name. I called that woman. I told her, as soon as I go off my radio broadcast today, I'll head your way. I went over there and this lady met me in the yard. She showed me a place in the back of her head where her own son had snatched out a whole handful of hair while she'd been kneeling in prayer. You know that has to be nothing but the devil. I will put the label on it. That has to be the devil. She showed me bruises on her legs and her arms and said she had bruises on the other parts of her body. She said, Brother Rich, I've got to have help from the Lord. Said, did you bring your friend with you that knows how to cast them devils out? I said, yes, ma'am. I've got him with me. Hallelujah. I've got him with me. About that time, she began to understand what I was talking about. I'm going to tell you something. Don't you go out on the devil's territory unless you know you've got power over the devil. I was in a large city here a while back, and a lot of young people wanted me to go down on the street corners with them and preach and have street service. I said, I'll go after you young people pray through. You don't have no business out there on the street until you make contact with the Son of God. Hallelujah. Well, I went into this house, and out came a big man lumbering out of the room. Larger than myself. I started to set up communication and speak to him. And the Lord said, set up no communication with him. Don't say nothing to him. He came out, and he was a lot larger than me, and I'm about a 245 pounder. But here he come lumbering right toward me. When he got close to me, the Spirit of the Lord, amen, gave me boldness of a lion. And I just reached out and said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, devil. The Lord rebuke you. And when I did, that big man went down like someone had hit him with a 16-pound sledgehammer. And he laid there like a dead man. But his mother knew that something had taken place. She started walking around and around her son with her hand lifted, saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I began to see that she was getting a blessing. So I decided to join her. And both of us started walking around and around, saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. After a while, Brother Luke, I heard another voice join us, saying, thank you, Jesus. And I looked down, and that big man's lips were moving, giving the Son of God praise. I'll tell you tonight, if we want to get victory over the devil, we're going to have the presence of the Son of God. Some devils feel right at home in the church. I took a certain church. I had two votes against me. My wife and I laid awake trying to figure out who those two are that's against us. I pastored there a year. They voted again. And I had two votes against me. Now, Lord, who could that be? Just who could that be? Two people in the church against me. And I always tell every church I start to pastor, you're not voting on me because of my appearance. You're not voting on me by the way that I preach. You're voting on what I stand for and the principles that I deliver from the pulpit. That's what you're voting on. You're not voting on my personality. You're voting on my stand for righteousness. And if you don't want righteousness, don't vote for me. And Brother Virgil Moore will tell you, I started out preaching holiness, and I'm still preaching holiness. And by the help of the Lord, I'll be preaching holiness when I draw my last breath. I've been there a little over a year. There was one couple in that church that we got close to. They took us out to eat often. They would visit in our home. They become like companions to us. But one night, I'd been on a fast for about a week. One night in that service, the Holy Ghost power got so strong that this man that I would least suspect stood to his feet, and they motioned for his wife to stand, and they came up and said, Brother Rich, we've been against you ever since you
came. This is where your two boats in. Said there's so much of the glory of God in this place. We're afraid to go on any longer under this guise of hypocrisy. The reason there's so much hypocrisy and hypocrites in the church, we do not have enough of the presence of the Lord. But when Jesus came into the synagogue, the holy presence of the Son of God, the devil fell on knees. Now there ought to be something about each of us that causes the devil to tremble. You can never convince me that if your name is in the book of life, I know that you also are known in hell. To give me a little time, I'll prove it to you. Amen. Remember when Paul and Silas cast that spirit of divination out of that young girl? What was her message? She said, these men are men of the Most High, who are servants of the Most High God, who have come to shew unto us the way of salvation. She knew who they were. Amen. When the seven sons of Sheba, amen, tried to cast out that devil, out of that devil-possessed man, the devil spoke up as they said, we adjure thee by this Paul, or by this Jesus whom Paul preached, to come out. The devil spoke up and said, Jesus, we know, and Paul, we know, and I'd like to say, Don Rich, we know, and Winfrey King, we know all of those whose names are in the book of life. Brother and sister, listen, if we want to have power over the devil and see our churches cleaned out, it'll only come by more of the presence of the Lord. The only way we'll have the presence of the Lord, there's more dedication. Let me hurry. I'm trying to hurry on. Bro, sin cannot stay where holiness is at. Just like darkness cannot stay where light is at. Hallelujah. When light comes on, darkness has to leave. Hallelujah. And when holiness comes on the scene, sin has to go. You ever wonder why somebody resigns? Never gives you no reason why they're leaving their position. It's because the Holy Ghost got too close to them. And they knew they couldn't continue on in their sinful ways. Hallelujah. Help me, let me preach there just a little bit longer. God, that's you for me, please. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah. I asked God to charge this tabernacle. I was bound on my knees in the bedroom of Brother King's today. I said, oh God, fill that tabernacle with your presence. And some folks think if we get loud enough, we'll run the devil out. The devil's not afraid of the loudest voice. But when Jesus says, come out thou unclean spirit, that devil has to go. Oh, I've seen them try to cast devils out, try to shake it out of them. And shake, and shake, and shake. You won't shake no devils out. I've seen them go through Acts. And there's nothing wrong with it, but I've seen them place the Bible on devil-possessed people and command the devil to go because they had the Word of God on them. But oh, know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Right here in our hearts is where the power lies. The written Word, it's powerful only when it's applied to the hearts of men. Without men and the inspiration that men get from the Word and the Spirit, the Bible would be nothing but a dead book laying on the shelf. But when men get inspired and they feel the unction from that Holy One, the Word of God becomes alive, and therefore they take God's Word in proxy. And by the authority of God's given Word, amen, they have power over the devil. Creating an atmosphere where the devil feels uncomfortable. How many of you older ones can remember when sinners would come to our services? They, lots of times, would see them get up and leave out when the Spirit of the Lord got to moving. Don't see much of that now. They can pat their feet right along with the singers. And Jesus cast that devil out. Later on, the disciples asked him, why couldn't we cast that devil out? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. That's it. And then he went on to say, this kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting. You want to increase your faith? Try prayer. Oh, go to church to be filled with the glory of God where the devil can't hide in the corners. I'm going to tell you what's happened out in our country. It's probably happened in yours too. We've had preachers preaching in the pulpit and making people shout that was committing adultery all the time they were doing. That's right. Amen. We've had them causing people to shout, run, jump the aisles. All the time they were committing fornication and adultery. I say it is on our part that these spirits are allowed to remain in the church. Oh, brother, when Ananias and Sapphira tried to get in the church with their crooked heart and crooked dealing, the Holy Ghost used the man of God, Peter, and he said, why has Satan put in thine heart to lie against the Holy Ghost? And he fell down and they carried him out. He burst. Oh, Lord, I'm beginning to feel like preaching here. Oh, hallelujah. If we do not have a revival of the presence of God soon in the church. The devil and his followers are going to take over the reins of the church. Already did it in lots of places. There's a few of us that still holding out that we can maintain holding the standards, carry a good spirit, amen, and have the blessings of God in the church. Holy God. Oh, for the holiness of the Lord. Oh, for the holiness of God to fill this sanctuary here tonight. You know what we call sinners to come and pray at this altar? From the feel of the holiness of the presence of the Lord. Oh, sinner, you cannot stand in the presence of a holy God. There'll be something about the presence of the Lord, young man, that'll make you want to pray and get right with God. Look at Isaiah the prophet. God, I'm going to hurry and tie the clothes, Brother King. I hope I'm not preaching too long. Amen. Look at Isaiah the prophet in the 6th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon his throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above him were the seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. The twain they covered the feet. The twain they covered the face. And the twain they did fly. And as they flew around, you know, we've been accused of repetition. Nothing wrong with repetition, as long as it's not vain repetition. That's what Jesus rebuked the disciples for. I mean, the Pharisees for was vain repetitions. For they thought they'd be heard for their much speaking. Sometimes I preach a message, somebody's heard me, that heard me preach that message before, and they say, hey, we've heard that one before. Well, I hate to think that I never did teach anything that would not bear repeating again. So the angels, the seraphim were standing around the throne. One of them said, holy. Next one couldn't think of anything better to say when he looked at the holiness of God, so he said, holy. And the next one couldn't think of anything better to say and more fitting, and he said, holy. And the next one said, holy. And there, night and day, they began to cry out, holy, 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 holy. There's the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Oh, hallelujah. And in that presence of a holy God, Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone, for I'm a man with unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. They want men and women to cry out and repent of their sins, glad to have more of the holiness of God in the church and in our lives. Preaching tonight on creating an atmosphere that makes the devil uncomfortable. They invited me a few, 2 or 3 years ago to preach in a Free Will Baptist church. So I wouldn't rent. Well, it's up to you. Just, you don't have to send no delegation with me. If you hear I'm preaching over there, amen, just I'll make it all right. I'm going to go in the name of the Lord and preach holiness. So I got over into that congregation, and I started preaching. The pastor asked me to run revival, so I started a week's revival. During the course of that revival, women was opening their purses, taking out their handkerchiefs, wiping their lipstick and their makeup off, slipping their jewelry off and putting it in their purses. Yes, and the altar calls were filled with people seeking the Lord. I've still got the letter. The pastor wrote me and said, Brother Rich, during the course of your revival, many of my members were saved during that revival. And he had in parenthesis, including the pastor of the church. Hallelujah. You get enough of the presence of God, and men have to move in the presence of the Lord. Let me close this right quick. Let's get a song. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the presence of the Lord, in the presence of the holy God, sin could not hide. Hallelujah. And in the presence of the Lord, even today, oh, sin cannot hide. Oh, for an atmosphere that makes the devil feel uncomfortable. Oh, those Gadareans begin to pray to Jesus and said, we want you to depart out of our coast. We don't want the holy man of God here. We can't continue on in our sinful ways. Amen. If you stay around here, hallelujah. If the saints of God don't have their liberty in the church, it's because of the atmosphere is filled with too much darkness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know exactly what God's wanting to do here tonight. God's wanting to do something in His service tonight. I'm just about two-thirds through of my message, but I'm closing because I feel like God's wanting to do a work in somebody's heart. Young people, boys and girls, Jesus is here tonight. The atmosphere is charged by the Spirit of the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Had people to tell me, big preacher, you get around me, I feel nervous. Well, you shouldn't feel nervous. With me around you, you don't feel nervous, do you? Hallelujah. Could it be because there's something in your life that's not right in the sight of God? That's why I didn't like to go around those men. I wasn't saved, and I'd go around holy men of God, and I'd feel condemnation. Hallelujah. How are you feeling tonight?
Thank you, Jesus.
In the presence of the Lord, things have to happen. Whatever head's bowed.
Thank you, Jesus.
I don't want no one looking around. You'd say, Brother Rich, I feel the Spirit of the Lord in this place tonight. And I know that I need help from the Lord. If you please remember me in prayer tonight. Hallelujah. Raise that hand. Say, preacher man, that's not the problem. See that one, are the others? Yes. Are the others? Yes. Yes. You've been hiding, but you can't hide no longer. The light turned on tonight. Yes, I see that hand. Are the others? Raise that hand, say, preacher man. Something in my life's not right. I've got to have deliverance tonight. I've got to have help tonight. Raise that hand quickly. Put it back down. There's others that could be lifting their hands. I want those that raise their hands to stand in your feet right now in the name of the Lord. Stand on your feet in the name of the Lord. We're opening the altar right now. Make your way to the Father quickly. Oh, hallelujah. Come on right now. Come on, young lady, don't feel that. Come out of here. Come on, sit down. There's many others right here. Would you bring the Father to pray? Would you be seated, darling? Come on tonight. Come on tonight. The presence of the Lord.